This evening, in part in remembrance of Bill Reed, I want to explore the great matter of life and death. When someone we know dies, there can be almost a quality of disbelief for me that someone simply vanishes. We might say this is the relative truth of life and death. We live, we exist in this world, we each have a story or many stories that are our own. Our lives are unique and special. And we can appreciate that about each other. And we can even have this feeling that this person who we know will always be here. Because it may feel like they always have been. And so it can take us by surprise when we lose someone, especially if it's unexpected. I want to share some poems this evening. These are death poems written by a series of Zen teachers. Poems they wrote about their own deaths before they died. Shinsui writes, "Like dewdrops on a lotus leaf, I vanish. Shunpo Soki writes, "No single bone in my body is holy. It is but an ash heap of stinking bones. Dig a deep hole and there bury these remains. Thus, not a grain of dust will stain the green mountains." These poets writing about their vanishing, their complete disappearance, this unbelievable thing. That we too, one day, will simply vanish. Pema Chodron writes, "Only to the extent that we expose ourselves over and over to annihilation can that which is indestructible be found." As we sit on the cushion, we see thought formations, emotions, entire senses of the world and of reality arise, entire narratives about the way things are and who and what we are come up and vanish, simply disappear. Again and again, sitting on the cushion, we experience the great matter of life and death. Entire universes flashing in and out of being moment after moment. The more deeply we look into this, the more we see that not only is it true that we do exist and that we do live and that we do die, but it's also true in a way that the mind can't quite comprehend. It just sounds like contradiction. But with our eye of practice, we really can also see that there is no self at all who dies. I pondered Buddha's teaching, a full 480 years. The gates are all now locked about me. No one was ever here. Who then is he about to die, and why lament for nothing? Farewell. The night is clear. The moon shines calmly. The wind in the pines is like a lyre's song. With no I and no other, who hears the sound? Zoso ro, royo. And here's another. I raise the mirror of my life up to my face. 60 years. With a swing, I smash the reflection. The world, as usual, all in its place. I've told this story once or twice, not too many times. We have to be careful with our stories. We can get stuck in them and attached to them and think that how things once were is how they always should be. But many years ago, my daughter went in for a surgery. And she was just having tubes put in her ears, and she was 7 years old. I went into the little operating room. She was laying on a table. The doctor was next to her. And he said to her, "You're going to hear a little pop." And then he pressed the tube in, and out came spurting blood. It was overwhelming, the amount of blood. He started to use some suctioning, and he filled up a bag with blood and then got another bag. And he began to fill a second bag with blood. My heart races to even tell the story again now. I found myself terrified as I looked in my daughter's eyes. I was sitting probably 5 feet away from her. And she didn't quite know what was happening, of course. And I said to her, "Honey, don't worry, you're going to be okay." And then, because I was beginning to fall apart, and I didn't want to scare her, I said, "Honey, I'm going to be right back." And I stepped out of the operating room and sat down in a chair in the little waiting room outside. And a nurse walked by, and she said, "Oh, it can be tough, isn't it?" Having no idea what was going on in there, thinking I was leaving because it was hard to watch a tube get put in my daughter's ear. I didn't really answer. I just brought my attention to my breath. And as I brought myself into the moment, I it became suddenly quite clear to me that everything was holy. Sacred. That there was no death, only this boundless presence. No self, no other. And afterward, I didn't know what to make of this experience, and I began telling all kinds of stories about what I had experienced. In fact, it became quite a problem for me. One that I had to practice with for many years, my new koan. Anyway, I went back into that room after those breaths, and I was able to be with my daughter again. And thank goodness, the surgeon was able to stuff enough garbage in her ear that blood stopped coming out. And eventually we got her to a place where she underwent a very serious surgery that went all night long. And she was saved. He had popped her carotid artery. But it was the beginning of quite a journey for me, of looking into this great matter of life and death. Sungai Gibbon writes, "He who comes knows only his coming. He who goes knows only his end. To be saved from the chasm, why cling to the cliff? Clouds floating low never know where the breezes will blow them." There is a way that this great matter of life and death throws us all into quite a mystery of not knowing what will happen when we die. We don't know how we will die. We don't know what it will be like. We may like to pretend that we do, but that pretending generally covers up some kind of fear that's beneath it. Because both sides of this story remain true. The side of the story that we live, we are separate, independent beings, and we die. And this feels frightening to us, and it's okay to be afraid. Our fear is a Dharma gate, inviting us to practice. And it's also true that nobody dies, that there is no death. The Heart Sutra is one of the most direct presentations of insight that we'll ever encounter. Emptiness is exactly form. In recognizing our boundlessness, all suffering vanishes. There really is no aging and no death. And there is. So without clinging or anticipation, without knowing in advance, what is? No sign in the cicada's song that it will soon be gone. Akinobo. But as I was looking through these poems, I found that one touched my heart, maybe most of all. It's by a nun, a Buddhist nun, Bare Kundalakese Teri. It goes like this. And it certainly makes me think of Bill. Here at the end, part of me still wants to go back and kiss every inch of every road I ever walked. But it is enough to just say thank you and goodbye. Thank you.